Alan.
Six.
We're back again for another episode of The Garnet Wager. This is how we do intros, is we intro them like this.
Traditionally, at least.
But this episode is a little different, because we have a special guest.
Who could it
Hello,
be?
Hello, it's me, the intro police. I'm shutting this place down. Get on the ground. This is illegal. Highly irregular.
You invited a cop?
Nah, I'm sorry.
I'm more of a... I'm more of a mall cop, a private investigator, but I
just
care
bad,
a lot about justice.
A cop.
Like Paul Blart, but really into Korean game shows. How are we all doing today?
You know, I think we're good. I think there's a high level of energy in this room right now. I'm feeling a lot of passion. I'm feeling a lot of enthusiasm.
There's also high energy in this room, since we are all in separate rooms, being the nature of internet recording.
That no, we're not. This is a podcast. We're all in the same room. That's how this works.
Which room of the Genius House are we all recording in right now?
You know, my answer would be a spoiler.
of course it would. Fuck wow. You.
There's some really good rooms and some other ones.
It's not just the same house? That's
okay,
cool.
Okay, I'll say for any of you dingy, sorry, that was a spoiler in itself. I apologize. For all you people listening that have seen it, I'll say the one in season 4, that's a bit of a crappy one. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
The toilet. You're in the toilet. Cool.
Oh. What are we doing?
All right. Well, first we're actually introducing our guest who kind of failed to.
my apologies. Yeah, hi, I'm Shane, Shane Raymond. You might know me as Vicarious Shaner. I'm the founder and occasional host of the Discord organization Genius Online, where we play fun Genius Orgs, online reality game shows inspired by the Genius. I have a lot of great hosts. Right now we're doing our second season. Six competed in one of them, and he did not do super well. But
not the best.
Yeah, well, he was very entertaining, and that's really what counts, as we can tell here. It's not about the end result. It's about popularity, just like in real life.
Indeed. Well, with that said, we're actually going to be playing one of our favorite games from Season 1 of The Genius, and one that seems to be fairly well-regarded in the community, which is how would you pronounce this, Shane? As a
well, you see, they actually say the words about 10,000 times during the game, so I just kind of use that. So they say
we weren't really paying attention.
Oh, sure, yeah, it's you know, yeah. you're in it for the money. I understand,
right.
So they say Gyol, and then they say Hop. So I'm gonna go with Gyol Hop. But
okay,
we're not playing Gyol Hop today, really.
I guess not. No, we're playing a unique Genius Org variant called Gyol Numbers.
Right, and thank you to Poryful Z, who created this variant. It was never actually played.
Pory,
yeah.
Huh?
It is Pory. Thank you so much for letting me use this on the show, and I hope you're glad to have it played on the best format for visual recognition games, a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll... I'll do some audio editing magic so that you can hear the boards, but also we'll provide them in links in the show notes so you can check it out.
Well, great. Are we ready to start?
Sure. Okay, so we played a practice game just to see how this would work, and Alan went first because Alan has more garnets, but I destroyed Alan, so maybe I should go first.
That seems fair. You're explaining the rules?
Yeah, so basically, the way this is going to work is we're going to have a 3x3 grid that is going to be, you know, as it says, as it sounds, 9 different boxes. Each box will either have a number or a numerical sign in it, like a plus, a minus, a division sign, or a multiplication sign. Numbers can be positive or negative integers. And basically, there are 2 target numbers that we want to hit. You want to create expressions of 3 different boxes in order to hit a target. For example, if the target was 2, you could use 3 plus 1. You could also use 3 minus... No, I already fucked it up. It's 3 minus 1 or 3 plus negative 1. Wow. But you cannot repeat numbers. And you can't use the same expression. You can't, like, once you found it, obviously, no one can use it again. We have 15 seconds. And when you are out of solutions, or you think you're out of solutions, you may call Gyol. If you're right, you get 3 points? It's 2 points in this variant.
Yes, you get 3 points if you call a Gyol. If you're incorrect, you get minus 2 points.
I see. And then it's plus 1 for a correct hop and minus 1 for an incorrect hop.
Yes.
That correct?
That's okay. Correct.
Easy enough.
Okay. And we are playing five rounds, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Great. So I will go ahead and I will post the first one now.
Hi, folks. It's Six in Editing, and I'm going to be reading the boards that we played to you. So this first board is, again, a 3x3 grid. And so I'll be reading from top left to top right, and then middle left to middle right, and so on. So we have 10, plus, minus, 2, negative 1, 3, multiplication, 5, and 9. And the targets are 5 and 10.
And 6 will be going first. I'll say start when I'm ready to start.
Okay.
And start.
Hop, 10 minus 5.
Yes, that is correct.
Hop, 3 plus 2.
That is also correct.
Hop, 5 times 2.
That is correct.
9 minus negative 1.
That is correct.
2 plus 3.
I believe we already did that.
Yeah.
I thought we did 3 plus 2.
I think that counts as the same thing, really.
Oh.
Because okay. We didn't make that clear, so I'm not going to give you any negative points for it.
Okay.
That seems fair.
All right. Well, I'll miss my turn then.
No, you can go again.
Yeah.
Okay. Gil.
That is incorrect. There's one more still waiting.
Oh, you shouldn't tell us the number, but.
Oh, okay. You are. Well, sorry. It's.
Yeah. Hmm.
And that is going to be, you now have minus one altogether.
Okay.
Alan?
Shit?
That is incorrect. There's, okay. Shit is not a number.
Okay.
It is a feeling.
Hmm.
You have 5 seconds.
Oh, I do. Nope.
Okay.
No.
Going to pass? 6?
Yeah, I don't see it.
Okay, well, it turns out the answer, it looks like it actually is incorrect, because it says 5 times negative 1, which is not
negative
5. Yeah, that'd be negative 5, so my earlier Gil was correct then.
That is correct. My apologies.
Results are a mess. The answer sheet is a mess.
Yes, it is a mess. I did not make the answer sheet. Pori did, so please blame him, but also thank him.
Like, listen, Pori, thank you for making the game, but also we played two boards now, and they've both been wrong. so
check your math, bud.
Okay, that actually leaves me with 4 points then, right?
I believe it is 6, because you got 3, and then you got 6. Is that not
right? Oh, right. Okay.
No,
that's right.
Yeah. So 6, and then Alan has 2, I believe.
Great. Okay. I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
So now...
And whoever calls Gil starts on the next one, is that right?
Sure. That sounds fair. All right.
I'm just trying to remember. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, that I believe that is correct. Please send in corrections if it is not correct to 6. 6's email.
Mm-hmm.
Personal email.
Yeah, I'll give you his phone number if anyone asks. It's fine. He loves just getting messages from fans. Okay, and I'm ready for the second board. Here it is. And 6.
What is that symbol
what
in
is
the
that?
Top there?
The little slash. I'm going to assume that's division.
No, in the upper right, the like.
It's like 7.
Like a confused pie symbol.
It's 17.
Oh my okay. God, that font.
Pori, buddy.
it's a fancy 17, I'm going to assume.
Okay. All right. Sure. 6 and edit, reading you the board again. This one is 25 plus 17, 4, negative 1, negative 3, division, 10, 9. And our targets are negative 5 and 5.
Okay, we're going to start the timer now.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I am.
Okay.
You have 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's fine.
4. All right, we're going to pass to Alan.
4 plus negative 1?
4 plus.
That'd be negative 3.
Yeah, that is incorrect, unfortunately, Alan. So that is going to be minus 1 point for you.
Oh, God. Why do I forget how math works?
I'm going to call Gil on this, actually.
You are correct. You gained 3 points.
Okay. Yeah, I passed a turn because I was like, maybe Alan just sees something I don't, but this looks like just nonsense.
Yeah, it was nonsense.
as if the like the pi symbol / 17 didn't give it.
Yeah, the 17 was where I was like, if there is one, there's one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I am preparing the third board. Here we go.
Editor 6 reading you the board. 0, plus, minus, 1, 3, 4, multiplication, 5, 9. And the targets are 0 and 1.
So, okay. 6, you called go last time, so you are free to start.
0 plus 1.
0 plus 1 is correct.
4 minus 3?
That is correct.
0 times 1.
That is correct.
I had another good one. Wait, where did it go? 5 minus 4?
That is correct.
0 times 3.
That is correct.
Oh, that's 0, isn't it? 0 times 9?
That is correct.
0 times 4.
That is correct.
Crap. And there's no negative, so it's... Gyul.
That is incorrect, Alan.
0 times 5.
That is correct.
For didn't swat the wa.
Alan, it's your turn.
Gyul.
Correct.
So, woo!
All right, so let me just add up all these points. 6, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, correct. Alan, you got 1, so I'll just put 6 there for you. And Alan, you got 1, 2, 3, correct. You missed a goal, which is minus 2, but you got a goal, which is plus 1. So altogether, you got an extra 1. So the final score for this board is... 6 gained 6 points, and Alan gained 4.
Whew.
All right, don't worry. It's about to get a lot more complicated.
Excellent.
I love it.
Because these have been too fucking easy. Hey!
Yeah.
I'm horrible at math. I absolutely would do much worse than either of you at this, so I will not mock any of you. Also, it's generally bad form to mock people on a podcast, right?
Oh, I don't
or
know.
Ever.
Okay.
What the oh, no!
Oof. I'm ready to prepare the next board. Here okay. It is. Should we like officially explain what the X and
I'll take
y's
care
are?
Of I'll take okay. care of I'll do narration. I'll take care of it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I won't step on your toes again, sir.
That's fine. I just like making things smooth.
Of course. All right, here is the next board. And there we are.
Oh, my God.
1 plus 0.5.
6 is correct. Alan?
3 plus x times 2.
No.
No, that's incorrect. Sorry.
Frick.
That is going to be minus 1 for you. 6?
Y divided by 2 plus 1.
That is correct.
Oh, my God. That's 0.5 plus 1, which is 1.5. Oh, my God. Nope.
All right. That seems like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
1 plus x times 2.
Oh, my God.
1 plus x times 2, you said?
Yes.
That'd be one. It's on the answer sheet, but let me check that. So it'd be
2 + 1 = 3.
That'd be, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But that is correct.
Pori, buddy.
Buddy, honey, Bobby.
There is an answer that says us oh in God. Here. So
oh,
that could be it.
I got one.
Alan, yes.
0.5 plus x times 2. Somebody already said that, didn't they?
No, that's no. You said oh. that. Correct. Good job.
Yeah.
Okay. 6.
So one more at least.
Mm-hmm. You have 5 seconds.
3 minus y divided by 2.
Once again, on the answer sheet, so let's check that.
Oh, that, no, that's I did it wrong. I did y divided by 2. That's recursive.
Okay, that is incorrect. Alan?
So y has to come first?
Indeed.
Okay. Nope.
5 seconds?
Gule.
You are correct.
Yes.
Really? There's one more.
Oh, you see one?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Y divided by 2 plus 1.
I think I said that one. No, I did not.
You didn't.
So that's 1 half. That's 0.5 plus 1, 1.5. Wait, I swear somebody said that one.
No, you said 0.5 plus x times 2.
Okay.
Okay, well, the rules say that nothing, so I'm going to say that, Alan, your girl is incorrect, giving you a minus 3 for this round, and wow. I'm just gonna say 6, you get those that point. Congrats.
Hooray.
Yay.
This is your redemption. You're so lucky. You get to have a redemption for losing the season. You get to just win the real game.
So, let me count the points for this round. 6, you lose 1 for an incorrect one.
Okay.
But you gain 1, 2, 3, 4. Alan, so that's 3 altogether. Alan, you got minus 3 from missing 1 and getting a missed goal, but you also got a goal and a point, so you get 1 more point altogether.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, last board. Okay, last board it is. Here we go. What's the
free me from my suffering.
It is now 18 to 7, so 6, you need to miss a lot for this to be even.
Oh, okay, got it.
That'd be the genius thing to do, I think.
It'd be very next level. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, this one doesn't look too bad, comparatively. Here we are.
Oh, yeah, that's not too bad. Editor 6 here with the last board for you. So we start with x to the power of 2 plus multiplication 1 y divided by 2 negative 6, 5, 4, and 3. And our targets are 30 and 20. Wait, is that an exponential?
God, it's
is that
squared.
X to the power of 2?
I believe it is.
All right, cool.
Okay, so we're going to start it. Now.
Okay.
Now, Alan did the goal, so technically.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Well, thank you for stopping me before I said one.
Yep.
All right, Alan. 15 seconds.
4 plus x squared.
That is correct.
Yes.
6?
5 plus x squared.
Fuck.
That is correct. Alan?
Fuck. 5 times 4.
That is correct. You've about 5 seconds now.
I got it.
Yep. Pass to Alan.
Okay. I will get it right by saying, obviously, that y divided by 2 is important.
All right. I'm going to pass the 6.
5 times 4.
That has already been said. My point to you. And Alan?
Nope. Gule.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all together, Alan got 2 points from getting hops, and as well as 3 points from a ghoul, getting a total of 5 points. Six got nothing because he missed one and then got one. So,
18 to 12 final score.
Mm-hmm. 18 to 12 final score. A respectable, respectable score.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for letting me on here so I could help you guys with this amazing game. Thank you, Fapori, for making this. What do I win?
Shane, what's your favorite movie?
I really like a film called A Talking Cat. I've seen it about 7 times.
Hmm. Ooh.
Alan, you have to watch A Talking Cat.
Wow. Oh, no. we should talk about that later, Alan. That's really an excellent film.
It's like hard to find.
No, it was on Netflix for a while.
What are you doing? This is a bad movie. This is a terrible movie.
Is it? Hey, I know nothing about it.
That's a joke answer. You just trolled us. You can't do troll jokes on the book.
I've literally seen it 7 times, Alan.
Oh my
I've literally
God.
Seen that film.
I looked it up.
It's my The Room, okay?
I'm sorry. Actually, I'm rescinding that.
No, come on. Too late.
Thanks, bud. I'll see what I can.
You had your Garnet Wager moment, Shane, and you blew it.
I love that movie. It's so funny. It's hilarious.
I'll give it 30 minutes. How about that? If I can find it easily, I'll give it 30 minutes.
I don't want to watch it,
and I'm the one giving the homework.
I mean, hey, I want to watch it, so that's fair. Mm-hmm. I can find it for you. Don't worry. I'll hit you up with a talking cat. I'll find the back alley dealers, open up your jacket, say what you buy them, and they just look at you, and they say, you know. Same old.
Just that basic shit, you know.
All right. Well, thank you again for everyone, or for everything you've done for me in my life. And please enjoy... What are you guys talking about this time?
The Genius.
Oh, yeah. I heard that show sucks. Okay. Well, bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Alan, your homework is to play Westerottle Double Barreled, which is
yes!
a PC RPG.
I love good games.
Oh, you played this one?
Yes, I played. I played the Flash or whatever, the old, like not the double barreled one.
All right.
This game's
that's
awesome.
All right.
Will do.
Kick it to whatever. I don't think I'm
going to
do this.
Send it to Bandage 6.
It's going to be a new Bandage 6 because this is not the rules don't apply here.
But. Fair enough. Send it to the transition.
The Garnet Wager is a game where two players compete in challenges while watching episodes of The Genius. Or at least, that's how it usually works. This is a bonus episode. So, just enjoy the conversation, I guess. The normal rules don't apply. So yeah, begin.
Garnet Wager is back, baby.
Back and better than ever, baby.
Well, listen, let's not make promises that I'm not sure we can keep, but it's definitely back.
From the dead?
From a rest.
From a rest.
No, wait, I guess this is before the rest, so that's actually a terrible... Hi, everyone.
Hi,
I'm Six
hello.
Demo.
I'm Alan Ibrahim. This is the Garnet Wager, your number one genius podcast.
And this is the, like, season 2, like, pre-show ep, like, prep ep, like, pizone.
A prep ep or a prep.
That's how.
So, what are we doing on this prep ep?
Well, mostly, we're going to be talking about the cast of the upcoming season 2 of The Genius. We have a big shout-out to, I'm going to give producer credit on this episode to listener Reese, who made a very nice little slideshow of all the characters, all the, even he wrote characters, all the human beings who will be in the show.
All the real humans that exist.
Who are maybe somewhat playing a character, but are also just people who we respect. And we've got little, like, stats on them. We've got, like, so everybody's gonna have a stats for game sense, which of course is sort of their ability to, like, intuit, like, the rules of the game and how they interlocked and see best strategy. Mm-hmm. We've got, raw skill, which is just sort of, you know, mental prowess and memory and mathematics and, you know, just, you know, the basic, like, brute force brain power stuff. You've got social game, which is their ability to make, like, allies. You've got mm-hmm. political aptitude, which is their ability to understand and interpret the intentions of other players, and also be able to predict their actions and, you know, how they're making deals and such. And because this is the genius, we also have fame, because a lot of these people are celebrities, and sometimes people are like, I'm going to help this person because I love them on TV.
I think we were talking about when we were looking at this the first time, like, which of these stats is the most important. I feel like fame is not the most important stat.
It's not, but, like, I mean, you know, like, Songmin got pretty far on fame, if we're being honest. You know, like, he had other things going on, for sure, but also a part of it was everyone was like, man, this guy, like, and also, it's interesting, I guess this would be really hard to quantify in, like, numbers. Mm. But I would be curious what type of fame you have, right? Because, like, in some of the behind the scenes for season one, they talked about, like, Songmin's fame, his reputation, is as kind of like this, like funny, mischievous troll, almost, right? And so he was able to get away with some kind of scummy plays that, like, if like, Kyungran had tried them, people would have turned on her pretty hard, you know?
No doubt. It's, I mean, yeah, fame is different for every player also. Like, mm-hmm. news person fame, famous pool player fame is all different. Politician fame, barely, according to this list, isn't that important, but I want to get into it.
All right. So our first player is No Hung Chul, who is the gentleman that we saw at the end of season one. We got a brief teaser of him opening his box. He has been awarded a game sense of 2, a raw skill of 2. This is all out of 5, by the way. A social game of 3, a political aptitude of 4, and a fame of 5. Which is a potent fame. By we have written here is that he's known for being very high energy and charismatic and a con man in his previous stints in variety shows for his manipulation skills. He was on 2D1N. Which I assume is another Korean game show, with fellow cast member Yoon Ji-won. I added a G there, excuse me, Yoon Ji-won, and had a blind date with Lim Yoon-sung. I keep adding G's to the end of things. What's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Lim Yoon-sung as part of a broadcast. So what strikes you as you look at the very, very big smiling face of this gentleman?
I love him. I want to be best friends with him. I think he immediately pops out as a potential Songmin of the season, which is funny because we're going to get to that later, but he's like the new one. I like the personality. I like the charisma. I like that he has relationships with other cast members. Mm-hmm. I think this guy is a front runner for an early, like, fun guy.
It's really nice to have, like, on these bios, like, sort of the relationships they've, like, the interactions they've had with other people in the cast, because I feel like that stuff, since these are all celebrities, you know, like, a Korean person watching the show would likely know some, if not all, of this. We, of course, have no clue, and I'm sure the show is mostly not going to bring it up until, like, you know, episode 10, where there's an offhand joke about how he, you know, went on a date with someone else, and it's like, oh, I didn't know that. So that's really cool.
Right.
Our next player is Yoon Ji-won. He has a game sense of 4, raw skill of 1, social game of 3, political aptitude of 2, and a fame of 5. And his bio indicates that he is the leader of first-generation boy band Zexkeys, He is known as a game genius due to his frequent solving of games on 2D1N, a show he was on with Nohong Chul, as we mentioned before. And apparently at the time of filming, he was the nephew of the current president of South Korea.
Whoa.
Which I can see why he has a five fame then. If he's a boy band leader who also is like part of like what? What do you call that? I mean, I know it's the first lady, but is it like the
first nephew?
Yeah, he's the first nephew. Let there be no other nephews before him.
Exactly, or after. I'm curious about raw skill one. That's worrisome.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear, like, so he's known as a game genius, but he's indicated to have a raw skill of one. I will note, so Reese worked up these scores, but also, like, showed it to a few other people in the community, be like, does this seem right? And got a thumbs up on these numbers.
So these have been corroborated by more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So for a game genius, he seems maybe like he's good at sensing what's happening in games and bad about doing anything about it.
So he's who does that compare him to then from season one? Like knows what's going on but doesn't play it that well.
That's a good I mean at times Jinho.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I mean when I look at him and I look at his stats and stuff, I feel like he's gonna be a Sungyu.
Yes. Yeah. Or he's like kinda charming and he's got the boy band thing and his like the fame and the game sense are good, but like he isn't going to, like, we don't know how long he's going to be able to last with that.
I mean, like, we had that, you know, that the episode where he got eliminated, Sungyu, like, had this, like, oh, I'm going to have you, like, fake bet on this one horse, and it's going to be so clever and it's going to throw everyone off. And it's like, Sungyu, that wasn't that tricky.
Yeah,
everyone you know, just saw now. Through it, except for one person. Sorry, not a genius, Taren. Yeah. Also, I feel like his photo, which is like him in like, you know, like a like cowboy outfit, like, you know, like popped collar white shirt with like, you know, a vest and like a fedora and like blowing smoke on what looks like maybe a flintlock pistol. That definitely seems like a photo that Sungyu would take as well.
Right. I think he's cute. I think he's got potential, but maybe not long term potential.
It's hard to say because he's kind of squinty in this.
Yeah, exactly. And he's wearing a hat that covers his hair, and I usually tend to like people's hair a lot.
Hair is important. Hair is very
absolutely,
important.
Absolutely, yes. No, well, okay. You can...
Wait, hair is not important?
Hair is important, depending on what you're talking about. We can have this conversation off. Come off, Mike.
No, hang on.
Oh, no.
Listen.
Oh, no.
Alan.
Hi, hello.
Let me tell you something about me.
Hello, what's up?
I take a medication called tacrolimus.
Oh.
Are you familiar with tacrolimus? You work at a pharmacy.
I am.
Are you familiar with its side effects?
I am.
So you know that I don't have very much hair because of my medication.
Uh-huh.
Hair is important.
I know what I want. I didn't. What I wanted to say was hair isn't that important to finding someone beautiful because I think you're beautiful and I didn't want you to feel bad.
Oh, I always feel bad. It's fine. I'm used to it.
That's my secret. Fair enough. Whatever. Fuck it. Right? Are we allowed to say that on the show?
I mean, I think you should get to know him before you say you want to fuck him, but I guess that's fine.
He's a person. Who's the next player?
Who else do we fuck? Not people?
Who's the next player? Please eject!
Okay. Our next player is Yoo Jung-hyun, who has a game sense of one, a raw skill of one, a social game of three, a political aptitude of four, that's pretty good, a fame of two, and it says here a Jun Seok rating of five.
Wow, weird. That's a bonus stat.
Yeah. A former congressman who ran independently and was defeated in the election and now has returned to broadcasting.
God, imagine being literally a congressman and getting political aptitude of four out of five. Like, what he had to do to get that five was to not get defeated.
Yeah, to not be in the position of needing to go on a game show to revive his career.
We found our Jun Seok of the season.
We super did. He's, like...
First 3 weeks, I'm saying. Out in first 3 weeks.
He just looks owned. I'm sorry.
He just looks like he's shocked. No, he's just smiling at the camera. No, let's not be mean to the politicians. He's probably going to try hard.
What?
In this, in this, say... in this game. Okay. Back it up. Ease on the brakes. Ease.
All right. All right. Fine. Yeah.
I have nothing to say about him that isn't a goof.
There is no one here that I'm not excited to see.
Yes.
However, for some of them, my excitement might not be entirely, it might not be because I expect them to succeed.
This next one's interesting.
It is, it is. So our next player is Kum Ji Kyung, who has a game sense of 2, a raw skill of 3, a social game of 2, a political aptitude of 1, and a fame of 4. And bio is a little succinct here. High school president, singer, leader of the girl group Rainbow, which I have actually heard of.
Oh. I haven't, and I'm the one who's into K-pop. Hold on.
I don't know, it's just one of those things, I guess.
Okay. I think this bio might not be giving her a lot of credit. Because it's, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, maybe she doesn't fit statistically into these stats, mm-hmm. but she could still pull through and do pretty well, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Because I look at this and this reads to me like somebody who gets eliminated first week, and that is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's the problem is you can see it's sort of like there's so little information that it's like, why don't we know more? Is because probably she doesn't last.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, like, listen, I don't know Reese's preferences. Maybe Reese is just not a fan. And so it's a little succinct.
Yeah, entirely possible.
I would...
Oh, sick.
Never mind. I just thought of a thing. Also, one thing I should note now that we're a decent ways into this, we're four contestants in. I am probably butchering these names. If you want to tell me how to pronounce them correctly, I'll certainly hear you out and I'll give it a shot. But like, know that I know, and it's like, okay, I'll do my best. But like, you know, it's one of those things.
Acting's hard. I mean, we're gonna hear the names on the show. Right, so we're gonna.
We
that's
will.
How I'm gonna. That's how I usually learn how to pronounce things.
That's true. That's true.
I'm watching a Rainbow music video right now, and they look fantastic. Everyone looks great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So. She looks like she has like fantastic hair in this.
Yes.
She's yep. very
and
like
a big bow. It's a good look. It's a strong.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my
our
god.
Our next player is.
Oh god, this fucking guy.
Lee Yun Kyul, who has a game sense of 3, a raw skill of 4. A social game of 2, a political aptitude of 2, and a fame of 2. And he is the first Korean magician to win the grand prize at the esteemed FISM World Championship of Magic. He's also an Asia World Magic Contest winner and was granted the Merlin Award from the IMS, which I assume is the International Magicians Society.
Oh, no.
This guy's going to be fun.
I'm going to love hating this guy. No, maybe, yeah, I think he'll be a lot of fun. Just why, like, having a magician on the show is so good. That's actually really good.
It's sort of one of the, like, I don't know what I want more. I don't know if I want more for him to just be a normal person who everyone keeps expecting to do magic tricks. Or for him to just be doing magic tricks all the time. I don't know how this goes. Either way, it will be fantastic. So.
Yeah, lots of potential for like, fun. And I think, I don't know, maybe, like, the ability to be deceptive and hide your intention as a magician mm-hmm. might be useful for him in the game.
I wonder if there will be room in the game for, like, literal, like, you know, magic trick techniques. I mean, like, I wonder if there will be room for, like, sleight of hand, even.
Yeah,
I
maybe,
wonder if that could
maybe.
Ever be practical.
Because mm-hmm.
I can imagine, you know, like, challenges, or, you know, I'm sorry, they don't call them challenges, they call them, like, main matches or death matches, where, like, you could, like, it could be to your advantage to be able to pick up a card without being noticed, right? I can imagine a
right.
game where that was useful.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how they tailor the games to the strengths of their contestants.
Speaking of strengths of contestants, this next one is the reason you wanted me to look at this list, I think, or it's one of the reasons.
I mean, you know, we should look at these anyway. But this is so I mentioned at the start of the podcast that there was one spoiler I knew for season 2.
Yeah, which was this.
It is the presence of Lim Yo-won, aka Boxer, the greatest StarCraft pro who's ever lived.
Ever? Period?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he just is. So he's got a game sense of 5, raw skill of 4, social game of 1, political aptitude of 3, fame of 4. Nicknamed the Emperor, arguably the world's most successful pro gamer, known for his revolutionary strategies and plays in StarCraft. Jinho's rival and one of his only weaknesses, now a professional poker player.
This is one of the funniest things ever to me.
Really?
Well, no. It's great that he's on this. I'm excited. I think it's awesome. I think he has huge potential with 5 game sense. Like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the new Jinho. He could take it all. Right?
Yeah.
We love Boxer. Boxer's apparently pretty cool. He's pretty famous. The social game being 1 doesn't necessarily have to matter if you can win really well. He seems like he could do well in DMs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy's got great potential. Do you have anything else to say about him before I finish this sentence?
I mean, should you finish your sentence first? I have something to say, because I have some thoughts about the... As a person who's into esports, I have thoughts about the phrase, world's most successful pro gamer.
Okay, no, yeah, go for that.
I mean, it's interesting to think about what metrics they're considering. I mean, like, so Boxer was an active pro StarCraft II player for about 9 years.
Wow.
And that's a pretty good run. But, like, I don't know, if you look at other esports, if you look at fighting games, you have these players who have been around, and, like, Justin Wong has been a dominant presence for coming up on 2 decades mm-hmm. in fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just talking as far as, like, staying power, I think it might be him. If you want to talk about, like just monetary earnings, then you're going to be talking about Dota 2, and you might be talking about someone like a Kuroki. Or, you know, like a puppy, one of these players are in the conversation. Anyway, I just think it's interesting to think about that. What were you going to say?
It's super funny to me because Boxer is on this show, and also Jinho is on this show.
Yeah, that's...
That's incredible.
It's pretty amazing.
So,
I want the episode where they call in guests, and they call in Nada, and neither of them is sure who he's there for.
Yeah, they're just like, he comes in, he's like, I'm here to support my friend. And they're like, they say thanks at the same time. And he's like, oh. Ooh. Yeah, that's super funny. Because, I mean, Jinho won last game. Mm-hmm. He was season 1's genius. He's back this season, which is interesting.
It is. How do you, like, you know, okay, let me just read his stats real quick. Get those on the record before we continue with the conversation. So, obviously, Hong Jinho. Game sense of 5, yes. Raw skill of 4, yes. Social game of 2, political aptitude of 3, fame of 4. Interestingly enough, exactly the same stats as Boxer, except for he has one more social game. Storm Zerg, the genius rules of the game winner. Legendary rivalry with Boxer. And, you know, there's a note here that he has won games against Boxer, just not, you know, not the grand finals, right?
Right.
Not the big ones that really matter. So. It's weird that he's back.
Yeah. Like, there's another returning cast member who I'm like, fuck yeah, love that they're back. Can't wait. Super exciting. Jinho being back is like, alright, I hope he doesn't just do the Jinho thing again and, like, secretly kick ass. Like, that's not, I'm not that excited for that. I just want to see him and Boxer talk and be enemies.
I mean, so I actually, if Boxer is the way we're expecting, having Jinho back seems great to me, because, like,
yeah.
Last season, Jinho was the only person who played like Jinho.
Yeah. Like, imagine having another Jinho.
Exactly. That seems really exciting to me. I just think it's just strange as a concept to me to have the previous winner, like, immediately return.
Yeah.
It feels like that's, you know, like, there's a season called All-Stars. I didn't expect to see him again until that. So that's weird. That's curious.
You will have to wait and see how that pans out, because that might not even be as big as we're expecting. Like, maybe they form an alliance. Maybe they're best friends and they secretly win it all together. But I don't think Jinho just, like, wins again. That would super suck.
Yeah, I definitely don't think. I mean, if nothing else, he is the previous winner. He's going to be a big target.
Yeah, for sure.
I do think, so do you think the one extra star in social game is just a result of Jinho surviving season 1?
I think he ranked up. Mm-hmm.
And do you think that's going to be the difference?
Well, what's funny is, like, Jinho, they often made jokes of, like, I play computer games a lot, so my facial expressions don't often aren't that, like, vivid, because I'm used to just, like, looking at a screen all day where I'm not looking at people. And so that kind of became the joke of, like, he's not that good at social game. But, again, he has played in the Genius before, so maybe that is just what made him give him the second star.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Boxer is still just, he's in the position of Season 1 Jinho, where he's like, oh, I'm a pro gamer, what else do I do?
And okay, so backing up a bit, Boxer's image, well, first of all, he looks hot.
Yeah, he does. He looks great.
But secondly, he has this look on his face where, like, okay, so he's a professional poker player.
Yeah.
He's a professional poker player because he is not giving much away, but yeah, he does seem like he's looking down on you. and I can see why that would affect your social game. So,
If poker game was another skill, he'd have like a 6 out of 5.
Like poker maybe he's really bad. Who knows? Well, I guess
that's where the
5 game
sense comes from.
I thought it came from him being really good at StarCraft.
maybe we'll have to see.
Yeah.
We have several more competitors, though.
So our next competitor is Li Daye, which I'm sure is wrong. That definitely is not how that's pronounced. And she has a game sense of 3, a raw skill of 5, a social game of 1, a political aptitude of 2, and a fame of 1. She is a 19-year-old professional Go player. In 2006, she was the runner-up for the female Mugen, which is basically the second-best female Go player of the year. Her ELO is about 2,900.
First of all, what's ELO?
Earned loss. It's not average, I forget. But basically, it's your competitive rating.
Okay. Because I've heard that in fighting games before, and I didn't know if that was a universal term. She's the first player that we've looked at so far that has a raw skill of 5.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that means?
I think it means that she's the second best female Go player in the world, and she's gonna fucking destroy you. I'm so excited.
I think that the raw skill 5 social game 1 is thrilling. I think that's awesome. Because low social game usually means, like, for being realistic, means, like, you probably aren't going to make big waves early on, and people aren't going to, like, think about you, but you're going to win every game. You're going to just, like, quietly and in a very deadly way just kick ass, and I think that's where she's going to stand.
Yeah, when we were talking before, when we first looked at these, you made a comparison to Yurem,
I think she
seems scarier than Yurem to me, but I do think they're in the similar, like, category. I like board games, right?
Yeah.
I like tactics games. I like chess. I like a lot of these style of games. Go is too hard for me.
Yeah,
Go is fucking tough. If she's the second best female Go player in the world, she's a monster, and I'm so here for it.
Scared.
I'm so into it. It's going to be really fun.
So I think she's she's got a huge potential.
Okay. Our next contestant is Lim Yu Sun, who is a highly esteemed lawyer. Oh, I'm skipping the stats. My bad.
Yeah, what you doing?
You know, just whatever I want. Game sense of 2, raw skill of 4, social game of 2, political aptitude of 4, fame of 1. Highly esteemed lawyer, highly esteemed lawyer, won around $300,000 from a Korean quiz show, the largest prize, and had a blind date with No Hong Chul through a broadcast. I was talking with Reese about this, and it sounds like there are some people on here who are just like, a lot of the people who have like a fame of 1 are people who basically, like, this season, some people tested into being contestants, basically. They were not necessarily handpicked because they're celebrities. They were people who, like applied for the Genius and got in because of superior test results. I would assume she is one of those.
Yes, exactly. Who does she remind me of? From season one, I mean. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I mean, she doesn't remind me of anyone.
There's a little bit of Kyungron in the stats.
Kyungron had pretty good social game, though.
That's true. God, lawyer, though, is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because lawyer means, like, being able to talk, being patient, being able to read between the lines. It means a lot. Mm-hmm. However, and it says highly esteemed lawyer, which means she's a good lawyer also. And she has a relationship to Arfanga to know, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of... I like that a lot. So far, all of the women on this season are, like, very different. And it's not just, like, they're just smart people. All of the contestants in general. But, like, I know it's not just, like, this one does sports and this one is brilliant, you know?
And also, I feel like, I don't know, maybe this is just because we're seeing the stats, but I feel like the show is making a pitch for a lot of them in a way that, like... I mean, like, I never felt like Minseo really got the pitch, right? They kind of tried a little bit. They're like, she's an auctioneer. I'm sure she'll be really good. And it's like...
And then she was. Well, yeah. Kind of.
She went out second episode.
I know, but that wasn't her fault.
Yes, it's true. But, yeah. It's always your fault on The Genius.
That's the motto.
On The Genius, everything is your fault. So our next contestant is Jo Yu Young, who has a game sense of 1, raw skill of 3, social game of 3, political aptitude of 2, fame of 2. She was accepted into Sydney University Law School, but moved back to Korea and became XTM's youngest announcer. What is XTM? I should have looked this up.
Let's do some Googling.
South Korean TV show.
Yep.
Okay. With a strong focus on millennials. Hell yeah.
Oh my god, same.
The Garnet Wager with a strong focus on millennials.
Love it. I have nothing on her. I have no notes here. I have no, like, predictions.
Exactly.
That's scary and exciting.
I think she's gonna be like Yunji. She's gonna be one of those under the radar players, right?
Yeah.
Where she's like quietly behind the scenes, just sticking with the pack, and you don't notice her, but she's getting along and getting results.
Yeah, I think, because again, they don't talk about this on the show much, but, like, really the best strategy on The Genius is to just play okay and stay in the middle of the pack and don't make any enemies. Because the person who wins is going to do great, but you can't win forever. And as long as you don't make any enemies, the person who wins is not going to send you to the DM, so you just stay in the middle until the very end, and then you win at the end.
So that's the thing, actually, I think I disagree. Like, I agree with you mostly, but, like, you can win forever, because Jinho did.
No, but, I mean, Jinho got sent... Like, he didn't win the main matches, is what I'm saying. He would get sent to the DM because he didn't make relationships and then just win the DMs. That is another strategy. True. I'm just saying that's not the best strategy, because that means his ass is on grass every single week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's not a phrase people say. I'm sorry. Ass is on grass. His ass is on the line. Excuse me.
He was... He not going to ask that question on air.
No.
We need
to get to Lee. Lee's my fave.
Okay. So our next contestant is Lee Doo-hee, who has a game sense of 3, a raw skill of 5, a social game of 1, a political aptitude of 1, and a fame of 2. He apparently hacked Seoul University, which is Seoul University.
Mm-hmm.
I always do that. It's just sort of like the Korean equivalent of Harvard. He hacked their computer network to leak a celebrity's high school graduation photo and has since apologized for doing so. He's known as a legendary genius hacker.
Whose man's is this?
Social game of 1, political aptitude of 1, raw skill of 5. He's gonna be like, imagine if Gura was a scary good player, but everyone still hated him.
Yeah. Oh god, I can't tell what's gonna go on. He could totally be the Gura of this season. That's a good point.
Yeah, I think it feels like that's how this goes. Even his photo kind of pisses me off.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He looks like he's a little bit talking down to you with the microphone. Like, let me explain diegetics to you.
I mean, in season 1, I made you play Hackdet, right?
Yes.
I love hacking. Hacking's
it's
great.
About him.
But the thing is, hacking's great when you're like a fictional, you know, like Hollywood hero, like hacking, you know, like to leak government secrets about the, you know, the oppression they're doing. It's not great when it's like, hey, here's someone's private photos. That's not great.
Yeah, that's super uncool. But
maybe actual hackers kind of suck.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see how he does and how he strikes us.
Right.
But yeah. So our next player is Nam Hui Jong, who has a game sense of 2, a raw skill of 5, a social game of 1, a political aptitude of 2, and a fame of 2. He's a KAIST graduate, which is, Reese has a comparison. It's like Yale, but for sciences. A genius level IQ of 173 and a private lecturer.
Oh.
And a very adorable photo.
He's so cute!
So when we first talked about this, I said, like, oh, this is he's gonna be like the new, Teacher Cha, the new Exposition Cha, right?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
I don't know if that's true, though, looking at the stats again. Like, Teacher Cha was really popular. This guy doesn't have, like, an incredible social game. And he does have a lot more, like, also Teacher Cha was not the most intimidating, like, people were intimidated by his play, but he didn't, like, blow anyone's mind in actual results. So his raw skill isn't that high.
No. He's in a weird position for me, because I kind of want him to be likable on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, technically, social game doesn't have to mean people don't like him and he doesn't make alliances. It doesn't have to just mean that. Like, because I don't know how much these ratings are, like, spoilers from people who have seen the season and are trying to give us nudges in the right direction. Or if it's just, like, predicted based on who he is as a person.
That's a fair point.
Because if it's based on how he plays in the season, then yeah, social game of 1 is like a death knell. That's like, you are not going to get past week 5. But he's very smart. Genius level IQ of 173 is incredible, even though we know the IQ test is not super legit. He went to a good college, which again, we know in real life is not that big of a deal if in the real world. But raw skill 5, like that does matter. That's very hashtag valid, I think.
I would be very into a death match between him and Dai Yi, the Go player.
Yeah.
That would be exciting.
Very smart people just fucking fighting.
And finally, we have our last contestant.
Who's this? Wait, we open up the door. Who's knock knock? Open up the door. It's him.
Lee Sang Min. So here's an interesting thing, which is reading the stats that he's been given.
Yeah.
Game sense of 2, raw skill of 1, social game of 4, political aptitude of 2, fame of 4. Top 3 of the genius rules of the game. Not much to say that we don't already know, except for he's quite popular in broadcaster and singer circles, so a lot of people know him in this cast.
Yeah, that's good for his social game, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So first off, these stats. You saw season 1, what do you think?
I think game sense of 2 is incorrect.
Really? What do you think it is?
I think it's closer to 3 or 4. And raw skill of 1? Like, what does that even mean?
I mean, like, he tanked in his DM.
Yeah, okay.
He tanked in his DM. he spent his whole DM talking about how he literally didn't have a memory.
Yeah.
I think raw skill of 1 might actually be fair.
Raw skill of 1, yeah, but game sense, like, he knows how to play the games. He's, like, he's paying attention.
I would say maybe 3. I don't think it's 4, because I feel like there were instances in season 1 where he got in his own way in his eagerness to be scheming.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That doesn't seem like good game sense to me, where he's like, haha, I have perfectly, screwed my team over. Oh, shit.
Aw, beans.
Like the Kong game, right? Where he, like, held on to all of his Kongs. And then it was like, oh, so your team loses. And he was like, oh. Right. I forgot. That's how this game works. Yeah, I don't know.
I just hope he does well.
I guess I would say maybe bump up his game sense is what I would do. And I would probably bump up his political aptitude. I think in all elements of, like,
the social side of the game, he is the strongest player we've seen.
Yeah. And not just because he was in the first season. Like, I would have given him, like, Social Game 5 in the first season.
Mm.
Just because everyone knew him and he was, like, likable and made good alliances and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He knows what he's fucking doing, is what I'm saying. I have no idea. I doubt he ends up winning this season, but I'm excited to see him play and be in more games and with his crazy outfits and all that stuff.
So one thing that was interesting is because we didn't think about, like, the concept of the items, we're at the end of the bios. Let's talk about some, like, predictions for this season, right?
Right.
I feel like the items were kind of a flop, right, in season one?
Agreed.
Do you think they thought that?
Oh, like, do you think they're going to lean more into items this season?
Right. Do you think they're going to sort of revamp them to make them a little more interesting?
God. I mean, I talked about this the first time we saw items. If you lean too hard into items, the games get just complicated enough that the average player gets confused. Because, like, I can pay attention to the rules, and I can pay attention to alliances and how people cheese the game, but as soon as you say all of that plus here is a card that flips the scores upside down or whatever, I get confused. And I wonder if they keep that in mind, or if I'm just less aware of the rules than the average genius viewer is.
I don't know.
I know you said last time you were like, the items can be used better.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing that I'm wondering, basically, is, like, I think Songmin has potential to go far. And yeah. Last time, one of the reasons I thought Songmin couldn't possibly win was because if Songmin got to the final game, then Songmin would be in, like, purely skill-based games and would get destroyed, right?
Yeah.
But if the items are even more of a powerful presence with his social game, he would get a lot of items.
True.
But of course, that only matters if he makes it to the end. I don't know. Looking at this cast, who is the first elimination?
Yoo Jung-hyun. Would that be too mean if they got rid of the politician week one both games?
Well, the thing is, I feel like maybe it's Kim Jae-kyung, because as we mentioned, the bio is so short, and, you know, there's just not much here. So I think it is definitely one of them. It would be really funny if it was the politician again. But with a political aptitude of 4, I imagine he'll get rescued.
Yeah, that should last. That should hold him.
Like, his political aptitude and his social game, I bet he'll manage to get saved from the DM the first episode at least. But you can only limp by with one game sense and one raw skill for so long. Like, who, buddy? And we talked a little bit about Boxer versus Yellow, Yuan versus Jinho.
Yeah.
I had just assumed that they would be like intense rivals on the show. Did you think they were going to be more friendly than that?
I would hope they would be more friendly than that. If they're intense rivals, then that's fine. That's just expected. I like to think maybe, because even in whatever this is, 2014 we're going to be in, they are both slightly past their careers as StarCraft players and as rivals. Like, maybe they're just friends now.
But, I mean, there was that time that Yuan killed Jinho's wife and he vowed revenge. I mean, you kind of don't get over that.
If you say so.
I don't know. I expect Jinho, I mean, with the way, like, Jinho in season one, like, was mad at Gura for not recognizing his fandom and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Jinho who did that is gonna be like, oh, the person who always made me second place for my entire career, nice to see you. I don't think that's how this goes.
I don't have much more. I'm really struggling to say more than that, though, but, like, I think Jinho and Boxers, and Lim Yuan, I mean, their rivalry should be one of the most interesting things of the whole season. For sure, 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a minute to remember that season one of The Genius was called The Genius Rules of the Game. Right?
Yes.
Season two is called The Genius Rule Breaker. I'm curious what sort of implications that might have or what they're suggesting.
Jinho 2.0.
Yeah, this time we can kill each other. It's a killing game. It's Danganronpa. I've made this joke exactly
before. Oh, no. I hate it every time because I hate Danganronpa.
It's the best game. You should give it a shot. I'm just kidding. No, I don't play video games.
And also, I gave it a shot. That's why I hate it.
That's true and right. You played all of them. God, yeah. I just want to watch the show now.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of want to make more predictions looking at this, but I also feel like we'd kind of just be stabbing in the dark to a large extent.
Right, this is just going to be us sound like we can listen back to this one and laugh at it. But there's just too many people who I don't know. There's too many question marks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to like make myself sound that dumb. Maybe Lee Doohee isn't the girl of the season. Maybe he's actually fine. Maybe he's boring. Maybe he gets eliminated in a week.
Maybe they boot like episode 4. They're like, okay, and I'll reveal everyone's garden scores. You know, like Yuan 2, Jinho 3, Doohee 20.
20.
He hacked the system. Oh no!
And then if the bandage man takes his bandages off, and it's just him.
It's just a computer. It just devolves into madness.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good. Actually,
really weird twist on season 2 where it just became Evangelion.
Yeah,
weird,
that was weird. Get in the mech, Songmin. God. We're gonna be watching. We're gonna watch the Genius season 2, though.
We are. I'm stoked. I'm here for it. This is a good cast, I think. I think this cast on paper seems stronger than the season 1 cast. I'm gonna miss Sungyu. I'm gonna miss Kyungren. But I bet I will find someone to like the way I liked Kyungren. And I'm hoping no one will betray me the way Sungyu did. Try and sell me out to capitalism.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to talk about it.
You sure?
Yes.
All right. Well, we had homework, didn't we?
We did.
Because we played Gil Numbers, and I destroyed you.
Uh-huh. I'm still mad about it. No,
you
not
sound furious.
We had fun.
Yeah, it was neat to play a game that, like, between that and the last challenge on the last episode of season 1, play challenges that felt more like actual Genius challenges. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Alan,
yes.
What did you play for your homework?
I played the PC game Westerado Double Barreled, which is a sort of remake, but basically like a full version of a very short, like, gameplay Adult Swim games demo. That was like a web browser game called Westerado.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a top-down pixel art Wild West adventure game, action adventure game.
Yeah. So this is a game that I feel like I picked up, like, sort of out of nowhere. Like, it just sort of popped up on the Steam, like, front page, like, the day it came out. And I was like, hey, what's this? It's cheap and looks kind of neat. And I had a lot of fun with it, even though it's not, like, I'm not, if I were to review it, I don't know if I would rate it very highly.
Yeah. It's interesting. I love the Wild West as an aesthetic. I think had more of a phase of, like, when this game came out in 2015, this version of this game. Around, like, 2010, 2011, when Red Dead Redemption was out, I was like, I fucking love the Wild West. I watch all these movies. This is the best stuff. And now, as I've gotten older, I've kind of, like, fallen away from that love, just because it's a... like, there isn't a lot to that aesthetic. It's kind of just that. I do appreciate that this game is funny. I like a lot of the Adult Swim games, All the Fare that they put out, because they manage to be funny in ways that games often are not, both through gameplay and through just like character writing. And while it is mostly earnest, I think sometimes the humor in the game was just like just being silly for silliness' sake. Because like, so the core conceit of the game is basically you were playing as a cowboy, whose family was, or like the barn that you live in was burned down and your whole family was killed. And you set out to find the person who committed that crime. And the way you do that is you walk around this like big sort of open world. Yeah, I guess I could call it an open world. And you talk to different people and you do tasks for them. And eventually some of them give you information about what they remember that your killer looked like. Like what hat he was wearing, what color were his pants, what color and shape was his belt. And eventually you get to paint a picture of who he was. And the idea is that you can find him on the map and just kill him. And then that's how you succeed. That is the game in theory. The thing that makes it interesting, and this is why when I originally played this as a Flash game, this was like the whole gag, was you only have a couple ways of interacting with the world. You can walk around, you can run, you can ride horses, and you can pull a gun out. You can also cock that gun, and then you can fire that gun. The gag is that you can pull your gun out literally anytime. Mid-conversation, at the store, while you're on your horse, while you're talking to somebody you want to help, anytime you can pull your gun out, and that has repercussions, and then also cocking it has repercussions, and firing it obviously does as well. So it kind of feels like it's almost making a sort of like parody of like Fallout or Elder Scrolls, these games where you can at any point just start killing NPCs and the story will theoretically change around them.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is that I never wanted to do that, and I didn't feel like there was any benefit to having that system in the game other than it's funny to like have somebody give you a basic side quest and then you're like, no, I'm just gonna kill you. Like, instead of that, I'm going to kill you, and you can just be a criminal. But it's like, what's the benefit of that?
Yeah.
It's a whole mechanic that the game's comedy centers around that I didn't engage with a single time, except by accident.
I mean, I pulled a gun on people a few times, because, I mean, there are points where, like, there are quests where people are just being uncooperative in a way where it's like, okay, pull out their gun, and they'll realize you're serious, and they'll get on with it. But, yeah, I definitely never shot anyone mid-conversation. And it does feel like a system that's really underexplored.
Because there's so much other stuff in the game. Like if you play the game without doing that, then you go to someone, they give you a side quest that's either go somewhere or bring something or escort something or kill someone, come back, and they give you they add to your portrait of the killer. Mm-hmm. And the map is pretty big, but not unreasonably big that you can't run around it because it's kind of like split up into squares. So I don't know. It feels like it's a bunch of systems that are undercooked that don't coalesce into anything. Because technically, the way I was using the gun was for combat. But then combat is as simple as a guy runs at you and points a gun at you, you dodge it, and then you shoot him in the head. And you do that over and over and over and over and over again until they stop shooting at you.
Yep.
If you shoot them in the hat, then you get health back, and if you shoot them in the body, you don't.
Yep.
So I wish there was more to it, because I started to like some of the characters. Like, there's, like, a haberdashery, because hats are such a core mechanic. There's a place where you can buy a hat or swap out your hat for another one just as, like, a cosmetic change, I guess. Do the hats do anything other than that?
I don't believe they do, no.
Yeah, so it's just, like, there's this lady whose whole thing is that she really likes hats, and if you collect hats and bring them to her, you can get stuff. But I just never felt any urge to do any of those things. Like, I played this game for about an hour and a half. And by the end, I just had a journal full of side quests, and I wasn't sure where the killer was supposed to be, even though I had a full picture of him, and I thought I had already killed him, but the game didn't tell me I did, so I was like, I guess I'm done. Like, I guess the game ran out of interesting things to give me. Because, like, why would I do the side quests if it's not gonna fill out the picture of the guy?
Yeah, I mean, like, you, at the time you said you had one thing left, you had the belt left.
I ended up finding the belt.
Really?
Yeah, and then it was like, all right, you've got his picture, and it didn't tell me anything.
Huh.
So I had figured there was like a random... So it's not... So you were telling me it's not completely... Like, he's not a random NPC in the wild?
I mean, I think it can... I think he... So the way I ended up doing it is that I feel like what happens is... It's been a while, it's been a few years, but I think once you have all the information... You can just, like, you can find him just as a random NPC wandering around, and you can, like, talk to him and be like, it's you. And he'll play dumb, and then if you pull a gun on him, he'll be like, well, shit. Okay. And then, like, you get a mission to, like, take him down. But I think if you are just really confident, I think you can just, like, I think it's possible earlier in the game to just shoot him. I think that's a thing you can do.
But you don't get an ending for doing that. I don't think so.
I think you do. I mean, like, I think it'll tell you if you're, I mean, like, I think you thought you shot him, and I think you didn't.
That's very possible. Because I, like, didn't explore the mines that much. There's a whole, like, bottom layer of the map where that's, like, these mines that you need a lantern for or whatever. And I had a feeling he was just in there at some point, because I had literally scoured the whole map.
Hmm.
And at one point, there was a guy who matched his, like, pants, hat, body shape, and, like, vague belt type. And I was like, this is probably the guy. And I killed him, and then nothing happened. And I was like, I was starting to think that maybe the clues people were giving me were dishonest, but I don't think the game does that. I think everything they give you is accurate.
Hmm.
It's just weird. Like, it's just, there's all these systems, and it's like, well, what are these coalesce into? Like, what is the fantasy of this game, or what is the gag? Like, what was the point of this game existing, you know? It started giving me this, like, weird existential crisis of, like, why did I spend an hour finding this guy? And maybe that's, like, an accidental commentary on revenge plots. Is like, yeah, you kill the guy and then you move on. But what you were telling me was, when you kill the guy, the game gives you an ending, and then you feel good, and then you get another character. And you can just keep doing different characters and getting different endings.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel any need to. I was like, all right, I played it. Like, I saw the map. They're not going to give me a new map. They'll probably give me different guns, and that's cool to play the combat that I don't like that much. I wanted more out of it. I think, like, a game with this concept that fleshes out all of its systems more would be more up my alley. But then isn't that just Fallout? Like, isn't that just like,
no,
an open world game with more choice?
Bad though.
Yeah. I guess. But it's the same thing in Fallout. Like, you never feel the urge to kill Mr. House in New Vegas because you're just gonna break the plot. That's not a good thing to do.
I mean, I killed Mr. House in New Vegas.
Well, you kill him in, like, the systematic, like, I chose a faction way. You're not just like, welcome to this new building, I'm going to shoot the boss of it and then leave.
That's true.
Which is what this game suggests that you can do. Like, you can go into the oil baron's house and go right up to him, and he threatens you and gives you boring work to do, and you can be like, no, fuck you, and shoot him. But he has, like, 30 guards, and I'm just going to die and have to restart and lose all my money. Like, why would I do that? Also, why does money matter?
Oh, wait, I did kill him. I forgot.
But it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, you killed him because he's the oil baron and it feels good, but so what?
I mean, I feel like... I feel like you're not respecting the scope of the... Like, if I can be a little, I don't know, severe for a second, I mean, like, what did you expect? Like, it's an elevated Flash game. I think it does fine for its ambitions, which are fairly humble.
It does, and it works. It looks really gorgeous. It's really fun to run around. The music is nice. Like, it's pleasing, and the writing is where they put a lot of the work into. I just felt like mechanically there was, like, hardly anything there.
Yeah.
The things they fleshed out were they made more side quests and made the map bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
I believe... It's less that I wish they did more. It's that I know they could do more. There were clearly good ideas in here that I just wanted to see more of, and I didn't. And I just kind of hit a wall of, like, well, I guess I played the game.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
So I'll give you 11 garnets for this one.
I don't think you give me any garnets, unless you want... Well, I mean, you could if you want me to start the season with a head start.
I don't.
Yeah, I figured not.
I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
3 out of 5.
So, I think that's it for this episode of The Garnet Wager. Next week is not going to have an episode, but Alan and I will be spending that time to figure out what the hell we're doing for Season 2, because we are changing the rules of the game. We are rule breakers.
There it is. Thank you.
We are history makers.
We are all stars.
To make history. So we got to figure out how things work in the new season and how garnets work, and, you know, I'll have a whole new set of rules for you because, yeah, new season, new rules. I think that's how we're going to probably work it going forward.
We'll get a new Toothpaste Man voice.
Exactly. Just do different levels of pitch shifting and also maybe add in, like, you know, like a dog barking. It's the plug zone.
Oh, boy.
That was a pretty straightforward intro. That wasn't that. You weren't surprised by that.
I was not. Although the internet was chopping out, so I heard you go, it's the plug zone. Which was kind of cool.
Oh, that was just what I did with my voice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hi, it's the plug zone. Welcome to me. I'm Alan Ibrahim. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Alan Ibrahim. It's spelled like my name. AlenIbrahim. I'm also on two other podcasts. One is called Chats, a television podcast, found wherever you listen to those kooky things. We're going to be releasing our first episode of our new season very soon. It's called Daisy Chats, and we're going to be discussing the show Pushing Daisies. We just recorded our first one, and it's a lot of fun, and we have fun announcements on there for you to check out if you're a fan. And if you want to listen to me on another show, it's called Fireside Friends. It's on firesidefriends.net. It's where my friends Ryan and Katie and I talk about pop culture and how it affects our lives. For the month of May, we are going to be discussing the webcomic Goodbye to Halos, which is very, very good. Six, what do you got?
So I'm Six Detmar. You can find me on Twitter at Six Detmar, SixDetmar. This week I'll just give you the regular, you know, there's a pinned tweet on the top of my page. It'll tell you all my shows. Episode 1 of Season 2, I'll probably give you guys the full pitch, but, you know, for this week, you get away with just the pinned tweet mention. Thank you again to Reese for writing up these bios. It was very helpful. They're a little nicer produced than we probably needed. It's kind of like there was a moment of just like, this is just for us. You worked too hard for this.
Yeah.
But they look good. It's very helpful. So thank you to Reese for providing those. Thank you to, of course, Shane for running our challenge this week. Thank you to Alan for losing. Thank you to me for winning. So, hey. Yay.
Thanks to Six for giving me a newfound blood feud.
We'll see you not next week.
Bye-bye.